what's going.
We have to do this now? Five minutes to 7?
Pledge allegiance to the United States of America and to the Republic where it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'm gonna talk to them, thank you guys for, like I said, that'd be a, it was a strange situation. I didn't quite think, oh, back by the way.
All right, we're gonna call the same page.
Call the meeting to order. October meeting. Motion to approve the September 11th board meeting.
Motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carry. Motion to approve budget to actual report for the month of September.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion to approve the payment of bills from September 27th and October 10th abstracts.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carry. Penalties first.
Oh. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Sean can join me. We are the leaders of the Fomalhaut Community Day for 2024. Sean Jennings, Emily Noonan, do you wanna take it away or?
I'll go today, here this evening. So we started getting everything together, trying to get started for next year. Came up with a date, we're looking at July 20th. A little different than we've done in the past. Just due to other towns have some items, some things going on, so I thought maybe the next weekend after, we would normally do, would be kind of beneficial to get more people here.
So 4th of July kind of gets a clogged weekend, spending time with your family's important, so taking away from that community day didn't seem like the best option. And then the following Saturday is Copaig's 200th anniversary. So they're definitely looking at a huge volume pull that day, so the 20th is our next best bet.
Well, good.
Get everybody here.
Should be warm.
Yeah, should be warm.
We're looking at trying to do the festivities we've had in the past, such as fireworks. That's one of the reasons why we're here today. I'd like to ask the board for donation of what we've had in the past for fireworks.
Yep. We'll put it in.
Okay. We're looking at doing usual things like the car show, fishing derby.
Yep.
Lock party, trying to get a DJ, stuff like that.
Vendors on the green.
We're gonna be doing a lot of fundraising throughout the fall and winter here, trying to save up, build up as much money as we can.
Perfect.
What's the usual amount we give for fireworks?
$2,000.
Thank you.
$2,500?
$2,500.
It's $2,500.
Yep, and hopefully we can get, well, we would like maybe to potentially discuss a pre-set amount for down payment, potentially.
Yeah.
Either from this year's celebration fund, if there is anything left, to then be set aside again for the next celebration fund for that following year's, you know, down payment, trying to set a model to kind of always ensure that there is that given amount to provide a down payment for the future years. Just wanted to throw that out there in case, but to be determined with discussion with the firework.
Keep advocating for what you want.
Yeah, the fire, well, we gotta talk to the firework vendor people, you know what I mean? Whatever they want, we're gonna try and make it happen as fast as possible. We're gonna get film on the show, you know?
Good.
Great.
All right.
That's all we got.
Cool, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, we'll have a next meeting too.
Yes.
And we wanna announce the next meeting. I think that's important.
That is.
Well, I'm gonna have that.
Okay.
Do you have a calendar?
I do not.
I think it's going to be, oh wait, I should have just. I believe it's the 23rd of October is gonna be our like next official public meeting. We have a moment to zip over. Yeah, we're thinking the 23rd, a Monday.
6 p.m.?
6 p.m.
At the community center.
At the community center, yes.
So if anybody would like to join, stop by, listen in, doors open.
Okay.
And is that, is that kind of a regular, is there a regular time, like, should I put it?
We are hoping to set a regular time for like the third Tuesday of every month, only altered in October so far, and then I think potentially in December again.
Okay, so I'll just, I'm gonna put it on the website for, but I'll just do it month to month for now.
Okay, yeah, I think with this future meeting, we'll set something more standard to depend on, so we can get on the calendars.
Okay, and where are you guys advertising to, you know, get people to participate?
We're gonna start putting it on Facebook?
Yeah, we're gonna get a new Facebook for the Community Day.
We're gonna get a flyer made up.
Probably some flyers, yeah.
Okay, are you two on the Philmont Neighbors, and, or do you wanna get on the Philmont Neighbors?
Yeah, that could be useful, we'd love that.
Okay.
And you check with Julie, make sure Community Center's all good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we kinda have an in there with the staff, you know?
She's assistant, yeah. But it's gotta go through Julie, because she's got the official calendar.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, so we'll be in contact with Julie for like setting an official location.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just make sure it doesn't come.
Absolutely.
Something else.
Absolutely. Great, thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Michael?
So, I have a proposal to the board. I'm sure most people can agree that empty storefronts on Main Street are a problem. They make the village feel, you know, depressed and dilapidated and whatnot. And it appears that in many cases, the landlords are using it just to, they'll just write it off as losses on their taxes. And so there isn't really an incentive for them to put, you know, a business in there or offer it to a nonprofit. Although one of the landlords has, obviously, with this spot. So that's great. But, you know, the village could be more assertive in terms of putting a policy in place to make that happen. And so, just like you did with the abandoned properties, which I think could be strengthened, this one could be, you know, make it more valuable to them to put something in there. So, you know, have like a monthly surcharge, for example, and monthly would be even, you know, beneficial, not only because of the money, but because it would be a hassle for them to pay it. And then, you know, they might, if they don't want to offer it to, like I said, a business, which would be good, you know, it would be an opportunity to offer it to a local artisan or a nonprofit who wants to do good work in the village. So it just promotes engagement and partnerships. So I think that would be all good for Philmont. So I don't know if this has been discussed before.
Has not been discussed.
And the other thing I want to say about that is, you know, I know with the abandoned buildings, I'm not sure about all the details of it, but it seems like there's a loophole. If they have a work permit in place, then there isn't an ongoing charge. And I think we should just avoid those types of loopholes by not allowing a work permit situation. You know, you either got something in there or you don't. So that's my proposal. What do you thought?
Well, it's the first time it's been brought up, and it's a decent idea, so we'll bring it up at the workshop and figure out what we're gonna do about it.
So you wanna fine people for having, as you define, an empty storefront? Is that right? That's your proposal?
A surcharge, or whatever you want to call it.
A surcharge every month?
Sure.
That's a fine.
Which would, you know, it's semantics, but it would be like...
Well, it matters. Semantics matters sometimes.
It may not end up being a fine, or it may not end up being a surcharge. It may, you know, years ago, we went to all the places and had pictures or something put up in the storefronts. You know?
Yeah, we went the opposite. They're trying to incentivize
yeah.
them to, rather than punish people for not having a storefront filled.
Maybe we could just
incentivize them to fill them.
What if you had an out gallery? It's one.
We've done that.
Maybe we can just regenerate that again.
Yeah, I'd rather go to the positive than the negative.
But one thing to consider is that financially, they make more money in tax rebates for having nobody in there. So it's.
Yeah, okay. That seems like that's a pretty bold statement.
I have a story.
Well, yeah. So for 600, it's not tax rebates. I know that if they earn less than 600, it's not financially beneficial for them to rent it out. So there's a financial tipping point for them. And I don't understand the tax situation or the write-offs or what it, you know, or how it works.
That brings me to a question. Are we doing this to make money or are we doing this to beautify the village?
Great question.
The question, no, it's about, all I'm saying is that I think we want activity on Main Street.
So we can, if we regenerate what we did before.
Photos?
Whatever.
Pictures?
Flowers, whatever. Just activity.
Okay. But I think
then we'll be doing our thing for the village and we'll be.
But it's not really about beautifying. It's not just about beautifying the village, I think. I mean, I would just say let's keep an open mind and discuss possibilities and, you know.
The landlords are Ron and Phil Gilder. So, you know, we all know them guys.
I think it's more about developing.
They're terrible landlords.
I think it's not just about beautifying. I think there's potential to not just beautify, but to help get more activity on Main Street and develop and make it a more vibrant.
We're not stuck to
village.
A direction. We have to go through a workshop in order to discuss this again. So, I mean, the ideas are brought up and
something needs to be done to help make more money.
It's the only way it happens. I mean, we hadn't even thought about it until you brought it up to me. Yeah. So that's the way it happens. That's why you're all sitting here.
Yep. Thank you. You're welcome.
Mr. Shook.
Yes.
You're up.
I just want to say thank you to the board and the ladies in the office to help me out with my situation of my building, my new landlord, to bring up our apartments to 1,250 standards. And I was told tonight by our mayor that he's in charge of doing the work on our building. That's a good thing. Because over the weekend, the steps in the back, the lady went through, and they'll have replaced it yesterday morning.
Yeah. I'm getting there.
Yeah. And so the front porch, most important thing is the basement.
Yeah.
Not only my building, well, Mr. Marshall lives too. You guys all been down there, the building inspector's been involved. He's called our landlord, so everybody's on the same page. The work's got to get done in the basement. There's mold in our basement. Hit in my building, 3L, and where Bill Marshall lives down up to now. So he knows about everything. Everybody knows every day. So everything is done quickly before it snow flies. As well as told by Larry with his people.
Yeah. Larry and Rudy are
they're
taking care of their buildings, sir.
Yeah. Yeah, because my building's not 1,250 standards.
Yeah.
By no means. My building or my apartment. So they're coming in to bring it at the standard. And I had to hold back my rent. I had to bring in my best friend, Brian Ehrman, his run for judge, to write a letter to inform Rudy who I was. So they said, don't mess with me.
They are doing a huge amount of work.
Yeah.
Because
it is, Ron was a horrible landlord. And all he told Bill was, no, we lived in crap for 2 years until he got a new landlord. You know, I fought with that man for 2 years. He didn't care about Brian's letters or nothing, you know. He said his lawyer was better than my lawyer. So we ended up, he sold to this guy, so now we get hope of the standard, because our apartments ain't worth, like I said, living from up for 1,250. No way. And now they want two bedrooms for 2,000. That's a lot of money. And that to be up to standard.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'll be seeing you shortly. I don't want to go back up to the office anymore. I don't think they'll be done right.
Bids for fuel.
One's fuel, that's okay.
First one we have is bid for fuel oil from Maravito.
Maravito, is that how you say it?
It's $3.31 a gallon, fluctuating price as of 10/6/23. Service and maintenance is $135 an hour. Parts is a 40% markup. That's Maravito for fuel oil.
331, that's not really cheap.
It's variable. More fluctuating with
yes,
it?
Yes.
It's fluctuating.
Not a bit.
Right? Yeah, it's not a bit.
This one is from Harrington Fuels. It's $3.51 a gallon. Cleaning and parts, $155. Service is $140 plus parts. After hours is $195. Price $3.51 is $3.51.
Yeah.
Doesn't fluctuate. Let's see. I'm gonna go with Maravito again for propane. $1.68 fluctuating price as of 10/5. $2.05 fixed price. No, they didn't have a fixed price for fuel. So $2.05 was a fixed price for propane. Labor is the same, $135 an hour and 40% on parts. Harrington's is $1.75 a gallon. And the same, it's 155 plus parts for cleaning and 140 plus parts for service. After hours is 195. There's no fixed price for, I read that correctly. See the fixed price here,
price.
No fixed price here for fuel.
Yeah.
All right. So there's was the
2.05
for fixed. Harrington's is $1.75.
That's propane.
Okay. You want to hold it over to the workshop, or you want to make a motion on it?
No, Well, she's got it in the motions, but I would make the motion that we accept the bid from Harrington Fuel for propane and oil.
Need a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Carried. Harrington's a stay. Treasurer.
water sewer bills will be mailed out on October 1st. They're due by the 31st without penalty. Worked with the water department staff, or water department engineering staff regards the water tower project. Worked with the DPW in lieu for work on the sidewalks. Worked with Collaborative Superintendent regards to equipment purchases and sidewalk grant. Worked and had a meeting with the accountant and lawyer in regards to the Collaborative Intermunicipal Agreement. We've had a really high volume of notary death certificates, tax requests, and final water readings. Also been a really high volume of dig safe requests. I've been working with Joe Vining, my Hudson Cable and Ring Square to get everything set so that we can switch the phones over. We sent an updated roster to the New York State Volunteer Firefighter Cancer Benefit Program. Compiled information for PERMA for a workers' comp case. It's also been just very busy, people coming in and phone calls. We'll be closed on November 7th for Election Day and November 10th for Veterans Day.
Both on the same week? Short week for you guys.
It's our one bonus week.
Building inspector report. He's got tenancy inspections at 51, rental registrations issued 20. Building permits 17, inspections 29. And CO searches 18, COs issued 19. The complaints, one of the complaints he received was about the Philmont Terrace Apartments elevator, and no violations were existed and the elevator was repaired. Elise DeRuzio has been performing all the rental registration and tenancy inspections as of June 1st. And he's got a list of everything that's been inspected attached, and I'm not gonna read them all, so.
Is that the annual report?
It's quarterly, I believe. Toby gave her report at the workshop.
There's
one. And there, yes. You wanna read it?
Yeah, so real quick, there are 225 people set foot in the library in person, which is a ton. We had a nature photography workshop, we had a seed collecting hike with Columbia Land Conservancy. I believe the banned book read and discussion started this week and goes till January. Senior lunch and games continue, and story time Thursdays at 11 also continues. Nothing of note really going on except for a continuing good job at the library for everyone involved. And Peter, don't forget that you have your required trustee training to do. It's at the bottom of this report. All trustees do. That's it.
Community Center.
All right, Community Center report for September, submitted by Julie Bernie, the director. The facility's been checked during the month and repairs are needed, especially on the back door entrance. And Lowe still hasn't got a hold of it. Programming, the felting program is underway with the first session being held on September 27th from 3:30 to 5:30. Five young people were all engaged in felting mice. Sessions will continue on, there's a bunch of dates in October. The program is co-sponsored with Free Columbia and offered on a sliding scale payment. Amelia McIsaac is the instructor. Adult felting will begin November 11, 12, 13 from 9 to 5. That'll be Amelia McIsaac again. The bike safety program was a huge success thanks to Caroline O'Neill and the Cub Scouts. They showed up with their bikes in the village, and there was a village residents and their sons as well. 27 were in attendance, youth, parents, scout leaders, and fire police. The Philmont and Melville Fire Police closed the road so the bike rodeo could be set up. The rodeo consisted of 8 riding events to demonstrate proficiency in balance, braking, maneuvering, and the use of hand signals to acknowledge of traffic signs. Everyone had a great time. There was a brief lesson inside on the rules of the road, helmets, and safe riding practices. And she mentions that I brought my well-equipped BSA bicycle and pointed out various safety features on that should be on a safe bike. Crocheting is moving to the first Friday of the month from 6 to 8. Thanks to Kim Simmons for doing that. And all programs have been publicized by flyers, Facebook, and the website, and she thanks Jess Cropperall for that work.
I don't know, BSN bicycle.
Vern's not here, but he left a report. Calls for service for this month were 14. Property checks 65. Tickets issued were 3, and warnings were 27. Sally?
Hi, thank you. Good evening. So you have my report in front of you, right?
Yes.
Yep. So it's fairly long, so I'm going to kind of skip through it in terms of bubbles, right? So the Borough Grant Committee meeting was held on September 26th, attended by Bob McFarland, Mayor, Bob McFarland, Barbara Segal, Sub-Area Group 1, Mark Roundtree as lead. So the main focus of that meeting was that we reviewed and discussed the scoring chart that was going to be used, or is being used right now, to evaluate the responses that we received from 929 to the RFQ, request for qualifications, for architectural services for sub-area 1, community centre, sub-area 2, Canal Street. Two in-person meetings were set up for the review of the RFQ responses, October 11th and 9th and 18th. We have two in-person selection review committee meetings on those dates. Pleased to be able to report that we received 12 RFQ responses, all on by the deadline, which was 9/29.
I'm still missing one in the mail.
It hasn't come through the mail. It didn't come through. Mm-hmm. So that's UE?
What's the other one?
You and I should talk tomorrow, so okay. Drop them off. Yeah, okay, so actually we can talk about that when we meet. Okay. Thank you for letting me know that. So we have 12 responses. They came through two channels, RFP into a Dropbox, and printed copies into the village, two sets of printed copies, all top-level architectural firms. So it's a pretty good turnout to get 12 top-level firms. So that gives an indication of lots of things going on, but it does actually confirm that we're making progress here. We are on the radar screen for architectural firms, which is awesome. And each of the Borough committee members received the folder literally 2 minutes after deadline. Everything had been set up my end, and it was forwarded to every member on that committee. And that's it for the Boa. LWRP, we're making really good progress. Rebella decided not to hold the meeting in September because they're very dug into getting task 9 is the most foundational section of the work plan for the watershed management plan. And so they're still writing. They're holding the meeting tonight. I think that task 9 will have been completed by tonight, but they've made really good progress. They've got all of their maps, 16 excellent maps. So we're moving forward quite well with that, successfully with that. And that task 9 document will actually be the next step in terms of the first public outreach that Lavella for the LWRP is going to do. Not quite sure when that's going to happen, probably November. And that will probably happen out in one of the towns. Unlikely to be in Vermont, right? So working with those four partnering towns. So that's the LWRP. And historic district, I'm pleased to be able to say that the system works, and that which is incredible. We said that the letters from Chico and Parks would be sent out in the first week in October. I can't be the only one, but I got mine today. Did you get yours?
I got mine last week.
You got So to me, that's remarkable. And it's, as you opened it, you can see how much information they gave. They've definitely provided, you know, huge amounts of information for the property owners. So I'm delighted to see that that actually came together. As you all know, we've announced last month, we have this public hearing in the Village Hall scheduled for November 14th at 7 o'clock. And Shipper and Park staff will be here to answer any questions on the historic district. This will be the last public hearing before the nomination is reviewed by the State Review Board on December 4th. We will be out, PB Inc. and the Heritage Working Group will be outside the post office on, you have a look here, the 4th and the 11th. And we'll be handing out, you know, maps and things, you know, to make sure that people don't miss this public hearing. And we started to promote the public hearing on local media, local platforms, flyers printed up at the Village End, up at the post office, up at Harlem Valley, Farm Straw, and kind of going up.
Sally, I'll get them up on the website.
We also provided information. We provided the new boundary map to Deborah to put up on the, which was produced by Shipper and Parks. That's really important because that defines the boundary. That confirms the original. Yeah, awesome. I don't think it's any different from the survey boundary, but there it is. That's what will be going forward. That's it.
So this is the proposed historic district?
Say it again?
It's the proposed historic district, or how will I put the language?
So the historic district is formed. That's the proposed nomination boundary. So when it's going forward into the State Review Board on the court,
proposed nomination boundary.
That's the boundary. But if you need copy, rather than just taking it verbatim here, just email me and say, Sally, provide some copy.
Okay, I'll do that.
Right, because we need to get that technically correct before putting it on the website. So I'm really pleased. We're, you know, on all three fronts, we are reaching the goal of producing the votes moving.
Next Sunday, there's going to be a presentation about the rail trail from Philmont to Kent. Yes? Are you going to go?
Where is that? Where is that being done?
At the Ghent VNW.
At the Ghent VNW. When is that?
I think it was at 1 o'clock Sunday next week.
You going?
I'm thinking about going just from a gun pump club standpoint.
Do you think that...
For the 22nd?
Doug, do you think that that has any impact on, you know, the exit being Carpenter Road, or?
I think it might. I don't know what they're going to say.
Are you going to go?
Huh? I'm thinking about going, yeah.
You want to go together? Or meet them? Sit next to me?
I'd love to.
You sit across the room if you don't like it. I'm just trying to get a date there. Okay. Right.
It just occurred to me that I read about that, so I'm speaking off the top of my head. I'll email you later about to make sure that about the time and place.
I think it'd be good to go so that we can, you know, they're in their planning stage, right?
I think it's important for Philmont to have a face there, yes.
Yeah, I think you're right. Okay, well, right. We'll see now. Maybe we get a date, maybe we don't.
If you don't get a letter, who do you go to? If you don't get a letter, who do you go to?
Oh, if you don't get a letter?
Yes.
Let
me just confirm. Properties within the boundary that are not contributing get letters. Is that correct?
All letters within the boundary, all property owners within the boundary should get a letter. If there is a property owner with a property within the boundaries, the just get a letter. My suggestion would be to let the clerk know, as all addresses came from the county, it could be, you know, right? We had to coordinate, the mailing list was coordinated by the county, not Philmont, as required by SHPO. So I think the best protocol would be to let the clerk know, who then will let me know, and then I will email SHPO with the clerk. Does that sound reasonable?
Yeah.
Yeah, but your address is Hudson, right?
Yes, but the property is in...
The property's in Philmont, but your address is Hudson, and the way the mail's been working lately, it could be just that much delayed.
Okay.
So I would give it another week.
I got mine last week, just so you know, I'm on a Hudson address, and I'm on this too.
No, I only got mine today.
Okay, yeah.
Right, I mean, it's...
This is last week, a couple pictures, a couple weeks ago.
Really?
But if you didn't, that would be the protocol to go, right? Because then I can forward, you know, the property owner would let the clerk know. Clerk would forward it to me. I can then forward SHPO the parts, and I can see that the audience getting frustrated here, so let's move along here.
Regarding, are you done?
Yeah.
Regarding the RFQs and the scoring, I'm wondering, so this is a village project and it's a state-funded project. So I'm assuming the information is public. And so my question is, what can we provide to the public on the website to keep them engaged in the process and where we're at?
Yeah.
Yes. So I had the same question, Deborah, and my question, which I'm waiting on receipt from the DOS. So selection process is, you know, not exactly public, right? So I can forward you this email. So I thought to myself, you know, it'd be really nice to be able to list that we got these incredible trial by a big awesome.
Yeah.
And then I thought, be very careful here. So I literally emailed the DOS on the Monday. So the Monday would be the 29th. We got the proposal. So Monday would be 3 days later, with that very question. And the question was, given the protocols of receiving, can we announce who the companies are? So I have exactly the same question. It'd be really nice to be able to put them out, but I'm not sure that we can actually do that. I haven't received a reply yet.
Who did you email?
Who oversees
Who's that?
Matthew Smith. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, share that with me when you get it. I'm thinking though that we can actually provide our scoring information, the scoring criteria. I think that wouldn't be a problem.
Oh no,
because...
that's fine. I have no problems with that.
So how can I?
We have the scoring chart.
Yeah.
And I imagine too, we can say we received 12 responses.
Correct. That's absolutely fine.
So I guess. My question is, can you share with me I can send you an email requesting the scoring information,
you can do that. No
and then
problem.
Just confirming how many we received and when we're planning, you know, I'll put it in an email to you.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay,
at all. Yeah.
Great.
I was actually waiting on the response because it was like, awesome, it'd be really nice to be able to allow that to go out, but then it was like, what are the actual protocols here? But scoring chart, no problem. And dates of selection, no problem. Until we hear from Matthew. Maybe he says it's fine.
Yeah, I'm sorry. What did you say his name was? Last name was? Matthew Davis?
You should know,
Davis?
Deborah, because Matthew is the DOS contact for both.
Yeah, I just... What's
same.
Davis? What's his last name?
Smith,
thank you.
Matthew Smith,
appreciate
you should know,
Michael.
As he is, you know, he's overseeing both fronts, so it should be right there in your head that is the rep that we're both working with.
All right.
Awesome.
Ms. Andrew.
I thought,
Don was next. I got slashes by both of your names, so I'm so far ahead of everybody.
Slashes mean you crossed this out already? Not like highlighted?
Okay, so the sewage treatment plant, I'm working a lot with Sylvia Marpigotti of Arcadis Engineering. She's put in a huge effort at no cost, reviewing plans, existing equipment, the energy bills. She did put in a bid to do what's called a flex tech audit. However, she also came to the conclusion that a continued energy audit really isn't warranted. this is the reason. Energy efficiency of water treatment facilities is based on a ratio of the kilowatt hours per million gallons of treated water. And that ratio is generally in the range of 4 to 4.5. And for her calculations that she figured out for Philmont, we're at now at about 3.5. So the energy efficiency is pretty good. And because of the scale, well, one of the reasons for that is the blowers are already variable speed motors, and they're working on an acceptable level of energy use. So because of the scale of the plant, doing an energy audit to completely different measures, it just doesn't make sense because of the scale. So, you know, and I said, well, but it's still the biggest user of energy, single biggest user of energy in the village. And so the suggestion was, well, maybe look at a large solar panel array rather than, you know, doing this audit. So I don't know if that cover would be suitable.
Back when we did our solar thing years ago and got into that bad deal, we had the solar people down there, and that wasn't a suitable spot for panels.
Was not. Did they say why?
Infrastructure. Wires were not big enough.
Yeah.
Transformers. We thought it'd be ideal because there's a transformer farm right there in Melville. Yeah. But they said no.
We were actually going to try to get them to put our solar system down there that we leased. That's where we wanted it. And they said it just wasn't a suitable spot.
Who was that?
That was Monolith, isn't it?
Oh, Monolith.
We don't necessarily have to believe them if you want to look into it more.
Well, and the technology's changed.
That's what they told us at the time.
Yeah, okay. Because it could go, you know, could go directly to a battery. I mean, there's different technologies now. So it might be worth looking at.
Not battery.
But we have looked into it down there. So, I mean, if you want to do it again,
okay.
Have your committee do it.
It's not at the top of the list because there's plenty of other things going on. Yeah. But just that was the suggestion since doing anything with the facilities doesn't make sense. It's still working fine.
There were three sites we explored. One of them was the rooftop here.
Yep. And we cut the trees down, and then they still said it was no good.
Yeah, DPW building and down there.
So the roof was okay, it's just the connections were a problem.
No.
Or you just put it on the ground.
At the sewer plant, it was on the ground.
Oh.
The DPW was on the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And the rooftop here, but, you know, they didn't, none of those was suitable to them.
Okay.
For what we were doing.
But it sounds like because we were looking at something much larger, this would just be a solar array dedicated to the sewage treatment plant. So that might be a little bit different.
Could be.
And it might be worth looking at. But anyway, like I said, it's not at the top of the list because
right.
We have other things. So the the grant for this building that we're putting in for that's coming up. That's $5,000 to $15,000, and that's to cover the cost of engineering design services to retrofit this entire building to energy efficient and fossil fuel free facility. The design concept would include a building envelope, mechanical systems, lighting, appliances, and possibly a solar panel array on this building. And additionally, the funds would cover identifying and pursuing government programs and grants to cover the cost of the implementation. So I met with James Clark of LaBerge Engineering, and he is currently working on a bid estimate to do that planning work and grant writing task. So the grant application requires a letter either from the mayor or a board resolution that gives me the authorization to apply. But I want to make it clear it's the village that is the applicant. I'm just the person that's putting it all together, but they, so that they know that I'm not an imposter, they need a letter. So
get is that before you apply?
Sorry?
Is it before you apply?
You have a letter.
It's part of the application.
Oh, it's part of, okay, that's okay.
It's an add-on.
That's okay. Yes. Yeah.
Do a resolution? That's why is that better?
Because it means it was voted on.
Oh.
That's so, why it's like more official than just a letter.
But I don't know if we
can prepare a resolution for next month's meeting, but she can write me a letter and I can sign it tomorrow so we can have it.
Okay. Okay, good. So we'll have that covered. Yeah, and then that's it. There's also the countywide climate adaptation resiliency program, which I attended the last workshop. They just issued a report, which I posted in the Google documents for Climate Smart. And Philmont is a participant in this program, official participant. So maybe that should get posted somewhere else on the website.
Yes.
More front and center. And then there's some very interesting things that they're covering. A lot of it in emergency situations, flooding, heating and cooling centers. So if we could get someone else to go to the next meeting, which is October 27th, 1-4, maybe, I don't know, Jason or Doug, if you have an interest in that, or...
Your emergency management, right? With Philmont? Not that I'm saying you have to go.
And you're
not. They changed the speed. I just looked the way in here. The speed down. I did the same damn thing when this is coming up. Wherever it is. Really.
Well, probably somebody from the fire.
It's on there somewhere. Yes, the fire department holds all that information.
But one of you guys being both on EMS and fire should probably go.
I know. Damn. But the fire department has some of these plans written already too, so it would be very prudent to get together with them. With the chief, or without a doubt, to begin with.
And the way to bring that information is to go to one of these meetings, actually.
They're going to collate the information from each of the communities there?
All the communities are bringing their particular knowledge and interests, and like visually what you've seen happening in your particular area. That's how they're gathering data.
Right, and this is a process to possibly modify protocols, or it's like big stuff. So
it's big important stuff.
Someone from that end should be attending these workshops.
I also think if we can get Dave Sider to go, it would be great. So that somebody from DPW who's familiar with where our vulnerabilities are in terms of our roads and electric systems.
So it's in person at Columbia Green College, Friday afternoon.
What's the date you said again?
October 27th.
What time? Oh, okay.
It's 1-4.
Toby from the library attended the last meeting.
Yeah, she attended the clobber.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the last time, compost. So we have the countywide composting program, which is completely free. In other words, they provide the containers, they pick up the containers, they do all of that. The wealthier towns are benefiting from this program because their containers go to the recycling center where there's someone that can watch over them. So, and that is the issue. The containers have to have some kind of monitoring because if you throw your old sneakers in there, it will completely screw up the machinery. So, and Philmont, the benefits are these wealthy towns now are getting composting out of their waste stream and they're saving huge amounts of money because you're not now paying the fee to cart that off to the dump.
We pay by the truckload, right? So could we remove a truckload of compost from our
ton?
By the ton, we pay by ton? Okay, that's what I'm getting at, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, just,
So are you gonna remove a ton of compost? No, because I don't think we
can generate a ton of compost per trip. That's the idea I'm getting at. That's all I'm asking. Like, can it really make an impact the way we modularize our trash? I don't know if it's possible. I'm not opposed to composting by any means.
The impact, though, is also for the individual who's paying for the tickets because their garbage volume goes down considerably.
Okay, that makes sense.
And that's what all the towns, the wealthy towns, they have artists, so there's all these wonderful posters. And it's all going on and it's free, but Philmont can't participate. So until we have that first discussion, and you said I had to wait because of the Clavera contract, am I still waiting or is there someone I can just talk to even while that's going
on? You're still waiting because we're about this close from getting that contract done.
Okay.
Once this is all squared away, then we can do whatever we want.
It's just to have a discussion of how it might work. It's not assigning anything at this point. It's just, can it work through someone at DPW, through someone at blah, blah, blah?
That I cannot answer that because I don't know how the new DPW is going to work.
Okay.
I haven't.
Because presumably we have to pay someone to monitor this bucket. Is that right?
It's going to have to. Toby kind of offered, but that's going to be limited.
Yeah, she's an employee already.
So really should be in DPW, I think. The question is where can it get located, and maybe we need two of them because in Philmont we're going to have people walking, and that we're discussing in Climate Smart to provide these small buckets that can go in people's kitchens.
And we'll provide, the Philmont will pay for that also? Or the people buy the buckets?
The Climate Smart funds hopefully will cover that, or maybe we can get that donated. But it's to try and get people who are walking. There has to be a conveniently located vessel for them to get to. But it also has to be monitored, so we have to have hours. And you can't just have it out in the street because everything will go in.
Yeah.
But I think it can. These issues can be worked out, especially because it's really a huge benefit to both, residents and to the town itself to get composting out of the waste stream.
Well, we could also educate people on how they can do it at home.
And Tom has done that, and I think that's a great point because that seems like it saves an awful lot of money, awful lot of time, and the consumer directly.
I compost everything at my own house.
I do too.
Some renters have told me they can't use the backyard. So.
You can do whatever you want as long as you don't tell anybody.
No, but that's a population. But that's a population that doesn't have access to it.
Yeah, there are like people who live in Richardson Hall and stuff, that would be good.
Yeah.
They can't do it. But you're going to get some out of the waste stream by having more people just compost in their yard.
I think that's personally more sustainable, but I think it'd be interesting to see how it plays out.
If because somebody's going to get in a freaking Silverado with a little bucket in it and drive to the library, well, you just wasted all that energy to do that. I don't know.
I can tell you that we fill up at least a 5-gallon, container every week. It's quite a bit, so that's just one household.
What do you guys do with it?
We don't tell them.
So presumably you guys wouldn't be using the program. Some of our biggest.
No, I would be happy to have them use the curb.
We would use that program until we establish our own.
If it's done correctly, it's not attracting rats or, you know, foxes or anything else.
We should definitely.
But I think the, you know, the reality is people won't do it, but, you know, certain people will make their own compost, and others would avail themselves of a public service like that.
I'm just going anecdotally. People, you know, stop me and say, why doesn't Climate Smart have composting?
Right.
So that means there's a percentage of people in Philmont who don't want to get involved, but they're willing to take it to some to a container. So.
Top of Summit Street.
Are they kidding my house?
Mm-hmm. My house.
If they want to walk up the hill with the bucket,
good luck.
I'll do it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Now you're up.
Yeah. Just when the Department of State's Smart Growth Comprehensive Plan contract was submitted by 9:30, went through the deadline. Thank you for your support and just helps in executing that and there for signing and taking care of all that. As much as possible, committee volunteers have been hand dropping off surveys house to house. We are hopeful that this will encourage more participation, but at a minimum, it will ensure that more people know that we are seeking input. We have received over 100 surveys and will close the survey as of October 13th. Our next meeting will be October 23rd at the Village Hall, where we begin to review the data we've collected to date to begin drafting our vision and goals. We're presenting the draft goals and vision for further public input at the early part of the year. We were going to do it in November. You know, we're going to try and like push in, but we want to be respectful also of the historic public meeting, so we'll go January. And the housing conference offered by Patterns for Progress was informative and inspirational. It was supportive for us on offering context and ideas about how to think of the current housing issue. So thank you for that too.
Thanks. All right. Well, the war tank got turned back on today.
Woohoo! Yay!
Yeah.
So that project, the painting project part of it, is pretty much 100%. The outfit has to clean up a little bit, but the tank is back online. Next step is that we're gonna clean the well that we had go bad on us over at Brewster Road. That's slated to be the end of October, last week in October, I believe. And after that's done, weather permitting, we'll get the fire pumps hooked up. We have to dig a new line, which Louis made himself available to do, and we'll finally get the fire pumps hooked up after 15 years. We're getting ready to battle the leafer. Battle the leaves, I should say. We just ordered a new leafer, so we shouldn't have any issues. Doug and I sat with the accountant and our attorney and Jess and Chrissy about the DPW getting switched over, and that's pretty close. We're figuring November it's going to happen. There was just a few kinks we had to iron out. Now, Peter, are you on? You're still on the library board, correct? I understand a feasibility study came back from LaBerge. How do I go about getting a copy of that?
It's in the process.
What does that mean?
I mean, there's a draft of the two components. One is the assessment of the existing building with what must be repaired immediately.
Yeah.
And then there's another part that should be done in the next X number of years, and then another one that should be done in XX number of years to make the building, it doesn't meet the needs of the library, but it's simply done in terms of the structure of the building.
Yeah.
It does not address the severe deficiencies of the interior of the building to meet the needs of the community going forward. Then the second component is possibilities for reconfiguring the building. So if you want a set of those, I think Mindy or I have paper copies.
Well, what I tell you exactly what I'm looking for. To me, a feasibility study should encompass what the community needs as a whole. I mean, so it's not just, they're not just taking into consideration the library board or the village board. They can take the, they go through the whole community, how much capital there is in the community, how much participation there is and all that. I was hoping for that sheet so I could see exactly what they came up with that our community should have. And does it warrant a $4 million library or does it warrant a $1 million library? That's what I'm after. And I called Faith the other day, but I don't think she understood what I was after.
Yeah, I don't think LaVerge has that comprehensive the whole thing yet done.
All right.
I think that's a market study. I think the two things are different. I think what you're hoping for is usually done under a market study.
It should be done under a feasibility study.
We're not doing a feasibility study on the building, right?
It should be the library as a whole.
Different kind of scope of work, different data.
Well, yeah, I mean, it would entail target groups,
yeah,
to interview by socioeconomic data or certain profiles of the community. I mean, we obviously know more than 50% of the people here are renters.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a particular group because that's done by the American Community Survey of the Census Department of the federal government. But to be granular down, what do individuals with children between ages 0 and 4 want in the library? That's not going to be part of this.
This study.
Well, I would just like to be kept in the loop. When something like that comes in, I think that at least the village board should be kept in the loop and we should see copies of whatever comes in, which we have not yet. So I don't care if it's draft copies or what. I mean, if it comes to you.
They can email it to me.
If it comes to your board, it should come to our board.
Okay, I'll pass that on to.
All right. I guess that's, we get the meeting, yeah, we got the meeting with that. I guess that's all I've got. I told them we were getting a new leader?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do we have any date? Because I've run out of gas.
What?
When they're gonna start picking up.
When the leaves start dropping and we'll, you know, when they start.
I just told people
there are
that
no dates.
But, you know, this particular person said, well, I've already got a bunch.
We don't have a leader yet, so.
Do we, when we do have it, will we set like a certain day of the week and a certain
number
of times?
No, they just
them
out to them and they go out once a day.
They go out once a day for leaves, once it starts.
Yeah.
So it's every day until,
yeah,
for how long, a week?
Until the snow
flies. Well, it's usually from November to Christmas.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, just as long as there's no snow.
Okay.
Will there be a notice of that? The reason I'm asking is because, believe it or not, Climate Smart can get credit because that comes under composting.
We
taking
the
leaves.
Leaves?
Yes.
That we took them away?
Well, where do they go?
Over the bank.
They don't care.
We take them over to Weigelt's.
Oh,
that's
yeah. And you make
topsoil
out of
it. We can get
topsoil, that's
so
composting.
To prove
yeah.
it, we need something. So do you send out notices do they help? How do people know
that? There'll be an email to everybody.
They do like a Facebook.
I'll do a website
this month. Post.
Yeah, and I will.
It's right on the back of the calendar, Tom. Just doesn't have the dates, but it has that we're doing it.
So
we don't have hard dates because we don't know when the leaves are coming, and we don't know when the snow's coming. So there's no hard dates.
So when we do know when it's starting, will you email me and I will post it on the website, and then we'll have that in addition to.
We could do it like Facebook and MailChimp too.
Yeah, that would be great.
You're letting people know about it.
MailChimp.
It's what?
They want to know that how we let people know about the program.
Okay.
Okay. And then we have to get a copy of it and send it to them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so let's communicate about that.
Go.
Okay. I met with a deputy sheriff regarding an issue that we had at Forest Lake. Mm-hmm. Had to sign a deposition and take care of that issue. Brian and Deb and Skip and I met with Dee Dee Barrett regarding the sidewalks so that we could get our picture taken. And so I was in, did you see, I gave you the thing from the newspaper.
Yeah.
So, but we need to thank Dee Dee, $50,000. She helped security work on some of the sidewalks. And I was gonna mention as part of my report, because we got, Skip and I got a letter from Mike. Here, Mike?
Oh, yeah.
And I don't really wanna say anything about which sidewalks right now, because really Brian put Skip in charge of that. And I'm not gonna step on Skip's toes. So just tell him to get in touch with Skip when he gets back.
When is Skip back?
2 weeks.
Can his email, I guess, be forwarded to Skip or put in his box?
I would just tell him to call Skip when he gets back.
Let me figure out how much is left after we just did this last round. There's two more sections that were slated to get done, and I don't know if we got enough money.
Yeah.
Gotcha. And I told him I had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
But
and Brian and I checked the community center. We were looking at the door and window situation up there. We've attended a water tower project meeting. Deb and I did a New York Forward webinar. I helped up there at the community center for the bicycle safety program. Brian and I had a meeting regarding the DPW merger, which you mentioned before. And unfortunately, I attended Mike's wake. That's it.
Usual business this month for me.
Skip's not here, but I can tell you that Prospect Street got sidewalks this morning. They were pouring this morning.
That's great.
I haven't talked to Louie as to where they're going next, but Skip has a plan, so I know two of them out here are getting done. I don't know if any more of that are getting done, but I do know Skip was complaining to me about these two out here, and I told him just to do them.
Maybe we can get more money next year.
Yeah. All right, you're up, Deborah.
So in addition to the two things Doug mentioned about meeting with Dee Dee for the sidewalks on the 12th, and the New York Forward tech meeting with the technical assistant for the New York Forward program. I also watched the 6 capacity building, what the webinar is related to the New York Forward program. And I guess I'll say a little bit at the end about that. But I also attended the housing conference on September 13th. That Pattern for Progress did with Robin, as she mentioned, and the Climate Smart monthly committee meeting. I don't think we had one in, did we have one in September?
Yeah.
I think we did, yeah. I attended the September Climate Smart meeting and the September Comprehensive Plan meeting. And I don't know if people are interested in just learning a little more about the New York Forward, but it was a really good meeting and they were encouraging, and it dovetails really nicely with the work we're doing, the planning work we're doing with the comprehensive plan update and with the BOA, all that planning. And I think we might be, you know, I think we're definitely going to look into applying for this grant. And anyway, I can provide more information for anyone who's interested. Maybe at some point you can tell me when it would, you know, be good to, like in what format or venue I can share information with the public about that. If not, you know, board meeting. You know, there's so much more to say about it. No, I mean, you are enough, but there's so much more to kind of, I could tell you, but I don't want to bore people. But it's an exciting opportunity. I'm done.
Thank you. Fire department.
Calls for the month, a paltry 8, which is interesting, a little more than that. Most of them are EMS, a couple carbon monoxide. We're up to 63 for the year, or excuse me, 130 calls for the year. 3 drills, 1 truck inspection, 1 work detail. And then we also got our air patch officially in service now. And we actually have our new radios in the trucks so you can wear. You'll see the operators now wearing headphones so they can hear on site. So 2 major advancements for the fire department this month. That's it.
Thanks. Correspondence. List is on the table and hard copies are in the office.
Do you want to discussion of this real quick, sorry, before we go into the motions?
Sure.
Okay. So we're going to talk about the electric car charger real quick. So, gosh, what a lot I learned. When we first did this a couple years ago, it was not common to charge by the hour, and now I know why. Our current rate, we're charging up what would be equivalent to over $5 a gallon, what we charge currently. But we
gallons?
Have... What's that?
It's measured in gallons?
The way I converted it so we can all understand it is 5, it's measured in kilowatt hours, depending on supply. So I could tell you that you use 7.52 kilowatt hours in an hour, but that wouldn't mean much. So the way I converted it was to say that the average price of gasoline right now is $3.90 a gallon. We are currently charging about $5.17 a gallon or for the gas equivalency, electricity. But we don't charge by the hour. We have multiple instances of people leaving their car for 48, 45, 52 hours at a time in the thing. There's no penalty for that. So to curb that, to make it fair for everybody, we could charge an equivalent hour basis based on how much electricity and what it costs and what would be equivalent to gasoline. That would put us charging $3.04 an hour to use an electric charger. And that would make it equivalent to our current gasoline prices at $3.90 a gallon. Does that make sense to everybody? So what I'm proposing is that we change it from charging 57 cents per kilowatt hour, whatever it is, 59 cents, to $3 an hour for use of the electric car charger. The average in the United States for car charging is about $3. $5 is the upper limit that most
people. How many kilowatt hours
make do we
charge? Are we putting out every hour?
It's variable, which is makes it more complicated than that, Doug. So I'm sorry to have to tell you that. But even on that charger, you can be fully charged some days in 2 hours, or you can be fully charged in an hour some days. Because the kilowatt that it can provide per hour changes. I do not understand that. I need to talk to someone.
Because it's changing all the time. The rates are changing.
No, the amount of electricity coming through it changes. I don't know why that
is. So it's variable depending on what the status of the battery.
I don't know, but maybe that's it. I do not know.
Do you know, Tom? Because you drive one of those.
Yeah, I do.
Does it suck a lot more juice out of the charger when the battery is very low?
No, the flow of electricity varies because of the total use. So it's from the network.
Oh, for everybody's using more electricity, it can throw more out at you? You're saying?
Okay. So it has more to do with that than the car.
Okay.
I mean, what Jason's trying to figure out is right now, the village has been losing money on that car charger. We don't want that to happen anymore.
Right.
And the real reason we're losing money is because the usage isn't quite there yet, to tell you the truth. As I've gone through these numbers, I've realized that was my first assumption.
Because of the fees that the company is charging us?
No, just not enough people using the charger. It's as simple as that. It really comes down to that. It looks like the same couple people using it constantly.
So it would be, you know, one of the things that would help is having... I mean, we can check if Philmon is listed. I believe part of the program was to get Philmont listed on some registry.
Well, they're on all the apps too. The app will tell you to come here for the charger.
It will.
Right, and Thomas listed on all your apps, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
And I wonder about something on the Taconic.
Somebody told me that Hawthorne's batteries are free.
Oh, interesting.
I mean, that's great.
There are Tesla chargers up there too, I think.
Ours are level. Because somebody went to the Philmont charging station, said it was too much, and went over to Hawthorne.
Okay.
It's more of a holistic thing. We need more stuff to do in Philmont to bring people with electric cars here. You know, it's like
a combination of both.
But yeah, I mean, in my opinion, the other thing I have to remember is that the electric cars are not paying any for any road tax.
And that's another reason I put it in. That's another reason I put it into equivalency of gallons per gas. So that would cover our presumed taxes that we're kind of recoup. You know what I mean? You brought that up, that's why I did that.
Okay.
So that amount would cover our expenses?
Depends on how people use it.
I don't understand that part.
So if we have one person use it for 10 hours a week, we make $10. If we have three people use it for 10 hours a week, we have $30.
But based on our current usage in Philmont.
Correct. It's low. There's only that one person instead of having three people a week use it.
Only a couple people here and there. Right?
Yes, that's what it is ultimately. Our prices are okay.
Sometime in September.
But are they paying a fee to plug that thing in?
Yes, they're paying a fee. It's right.
Plus the electricity?
That covers electricity.
So I don't understand.
You're trying to get it for covering our cost of electricity. Yes, we are, but I don't know by what margin, and I can find that out. I do not know that calculation.
Well, if we're not losing any money on it, I think it's better to promote the car charger being there than it is to try to make a ton of money on it right off the get.
I don't think anybody's trying to make money, but we're losing money, and we're not allowed to be gifting the public our resources.
Yeah, but are we losing money or are we breaking even?
We're losing.
Are we?
A couple $100 a year right now.
Well, then we have to raise it.
We have to raise it. We just it's going to be hard, as you, I'm sure, know, it's hard to figure out how much.
Yeah, so I'm actually proposing that we raise it significantly for off-hour times, but not for actual charging time. So we would go from when you're charging your car from $5 to $3 an hour. But for the other 10 hours that car is sitting there, we will also be charging them $3 an hour.
I think there is a way to add idling fees.
There probably is.
So that might be something
we're new to that. So we could do that.
More further, maybe?
And then we just have to review maybe in a year.
Exactly. That's exactly
see where we're at.
I mean, I think this is an establishment phase for this.
Correct.
Thing. It makes sense in the long run.
We'll learn it.
Yeah.
And then an idle leak phase means that if you leave your car,
we're charging for it. Almost positive you can set it.
I'm sure you can. You have to be able to prevent that. Because we'll charge them for sitting there.
Yeah. And I think it ought to be the same as the charging. That way people have to get out of the way.
That's fine. That's why $3 an hour just solves all that, right?
I'm all for that.
But we need to put a sign there telling that person that. Or really? They'll come back with a $90 charge or something crazy.
Well, do we know who it is?
I can't know. It's privacy stuff. I can just see their ID. I don't know who it is. I mean, sure, I could walk over there.
I suspect it.
All we have to do is just laminate a sign and we'll put it on the charger. So
yeah.
And
you will be charged for idle
and
time.
It should say it on their app too when that comes up. We change the rules, we'll say it on their app.
I'll notify Purpose because I suspect it's somebody who's working at Purpose.
So yeah, it's cool. It'll be cheaper for them to charge their car as long as they move it. And it will be commensurate with prices across New York State.
That's fine.
At $3 an hour.
So you
$3 an hour is the new rate?
Let's just do probably
$3 an hour for this year makes sense.
We're losing money again for next year. Checks,
so. And it's down from $5 an hour?
Our equivalency right now we're charging is $5.17 an hour. An hour is what we're equivalency charging for that power use. So
We're charging it per kilowatt.
Correct.
Okay.
So if we change it to just $3 an hour, we will still be making the money as long as we get the people to use it. Simple as that.
Great.
So get us a Chuck E. Cheese or something and it'll be well used.
Great. Thanks for doing that.
And we'll revisit again next year.
Yeah, I think it'll look better next year.
And over time, more people will
we'll figure it out.
Be using it.
I'm confident of that.
I answer questions.
Okay. Motions and resolutions.
Motion to set the annual village elections for Tuesday, March 19th, 2024, from noon to 9 p.m. in the village hall to elect two trustees each for a 2-year term.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
What's the date?
March 19th.
Tuesday. Motion to declare that Mayor Johnson has conducted the required examination of the Village of Philmont Justice Court records for the fiscal year 2023 22 to 23.
Motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to appoint David Goldweiss as a member of the Village of Philmont Library Board of Trustees with a term to expire September 30th, 2028.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to authorize the agreement with NYSERDA for the $3,200 grant funded energy studies at the Village Hall and Community Center.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Carried.
A motion to regretfully remove Michael Scheller's status as a village employee.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to transfer the amount of $22,512 from water fund savings to water fund checking to pay bills related with the water storage tank rehabilitation project.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor? Opposed? Carried.
Motion to change the rate of electric vehicle charger from 59 cents per kilowatt hour to $3 per hour effective immediately.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Motion to reverse Jennifer Amelia McIsaac in the amount of $59.27 for the purchase of snacks for the children's felting program.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor? Opposed? Carried.
Motion to purchase the new tow behind leaf vacuum from Salem Farm Supply in the amount of $13,232 as provided by the Sourcewell State contract.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor? Opposed? Carried.
That's a good deal.
Motion to transfer the amount of $13,230 from the equipment reserve to the general account to pay for the tow behind leaf vacuum.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Motion to allow the mayor to sign the multi-module capital project agreement. Can't speak, sorry.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
And we have resolution number 4.
Motion on fireworks. Motion to spend $2,500. It'll come from, we should say we need to budget that.
Won't that be in next year's budget?
Yeah, I know I've done it before.
Motion to put it in the budget for the next fiscal year.
I don't see it in here, so I don't know where it comes from.
$2,500 for the fireworks.
Okay, so we'll do that. Just do it next meeting.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think there's enough left in the budget for the deposit.
Yeah, it's definitely in there, so.
We cannot use that money for the deposit. They have to be made aware of that.
Why?
Because we cannot spend money for services that are not in ground.
Oh, interesting.
So they have to come up with the rest of the money, then we, after we see the fireworks go, the village can pay for them.
Gotcha.
So that's the way that's kind of working.
Okay.
Well, Deborah, you're the liaison.
Yeah, I'll let them know.
Make sure they know that.
Yep.
They gotta raise the rest of the money first.
All right, so then we have resolution 4, authorizing the implementation and funding in the first instance of the state multi-module program aid eligible cost, the capital project, and appropriating funds therefore.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Anybody got any unfinished or new business? All right, so before we adjourn, I'd like to stand in moment of silence for Mike Scheller. I need a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
It's again, then.
Good night, Philmont.
I'll be down.